Amen. One thing I can tell you is never, you may be seated. Sit down. Never tell the Lord what you're not going to do again. So I'm Sam Thomas. I have the privilege and the honor of co-leading the Katy Cypress Home Group, along with my wife. It's a very special morning. Is my sister? Did my sister make it? Oh, there she is. My sister's in town from Dallas, and her son, and the princess of the Thomas family's birthday is also today. So, happy birthday, baby. You know, if I could ask before we leave today, if we could sing happy birthday to the princess. So, it's her favorite song. She's been singing it for a year. So I think it'll just bless her heart. You know, this morning, I know Tolu's going to be mad at me. I had all my points laid out. It was eloquent and thoughtful, but the Lord last night just told me, like, you know, you need to lay the groundwork a little bit before you jump right into the scripture. I don't know about you, but I feel that in today's society, we're becoming increasingly divided. And it's not cultural, although that's a problem. It's not racial, although that's a problem. But even amongst ourselves as believers, we may think that it's something that has just started in society or has been relegated to one culture or race or, but this is one of the devil's, one of our adversary's most crafty attacks on humanity. This separation that we have can, it can ruin job opportunities. It can ruin relationships, marriages. It could destroy you from the inside out. So if I could leave you with one word, if we don't make it all the way through my points, since I'm adding this on to the top, then I want to leave you with one point. That one point is that in the living, breathing body of Christ, there can be no division. No division. And we're marching through the book of Acts. You know, we see that this is a book of action. You know, this is a, we see the activation of the apostles. We see the activities of the early church. We see the Holy Spirit in action. You know, one of the first displays of the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was connecting people through their language so that they can hear the gospel for themselves without any cultural misunderstandings, without any disconnects. And I find that very, very amazing. It's very profound that the first act of the Holy Spirit was to bring people together. There could be no division in the body of Christ. So, Tolu, this is not on my notes. 1 Corinthians 12:12. If you have your phone, you'll probably beat me there. Maybe not. It says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." The main reason that the Holy Spirit wanted to connect us is because in Christ, there is only one body. If I go to eat something and my foot goes out instead of my mouth, then it doesn't work. If there's separation in the body and we just don't understand what the reason is for us being connected in Christ, then there is an issue within the body. So if we turn to our sermon today, we turn to Acts chapter 6. I'm going to talk about what this scripture is telling us, why it's important to us as believers, and how we apply it to our lives. So it says, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So we see here, right, in this passage that the church is thriving. It kind of reminded me of King City, you know, how the church is growing. And like any organization, we know that growth is attractive. Growth brings people from different cultures, from different understandings, from different expectations, different historical context. And in this scripture, we see that a complaint arose. And this attack from the enemy, we see that it's probably one of the most clever attacks that the enemy has projected. We could say that he was in his bag on this one, because we know that whispers and complaints, you know, they travel faster than protests. We see that in this scripture that there was something underneath the radar that reached up to the apostles. And we know, like any organization, I work in corporate America, and by the time any type of complaint reaches our senior leadership or anything like that, you know that there's been a widespread like infection, or it's been impacted throughout the entire body of Christ or the organization. One thing about whispers is that you have to know the person, you know, who's whispering to you. I challenge anybody to go up to anybody that they don't know and try to whisper in their ear. You know, it's not going to happen. So the enemy is going to use people that look just like us. He's going to use people that that we trust, that we feel confident in complaining. And the Greek word that is used for complaining in this text is called, it's gangousmos, which it's an interesting word. It's a weird word. It's actually a word that is meant to sound the way that it's spelled, the way it sounds, which is it's a low tone, indistinct murmur of dissent. And so it'd be something like gooch, 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 you know, just something that's very, very indistinct. You know, I mean, that's how it sounds. You know, I guess that's the way that they murmured. But this word, it's deep, because it shows us how the people were not connected, if I could say it that way. They didn't feel that they were a part of the mainstream. So in the day of the early church, the saints from Jerusalem would, or the saints from Greece, all of the Israelites or the children of Israel, they would come back. And as they got older, you know, they would come for the day of Pentecost, they would come for Passover. But as they got older, they would travel back to Jerusalem so that they could be buried in their homeland. So when they get back, they're like, wait, what's going on? Like, there's this new church, there's this new gathering, and it's welcoming. And they're bringing us, and they want us to be a part of this new movement. And they get there, and they see that, okay, it's not as structured. It doesn't feel like it's for us in the way that we remember. So in Exodus 22, there is a directive directly from God to take care of the widows and the orphans. And in that directive, the widows and the orphans felt comfort, and they knew that they'd be taken care of. And this is at the heart, this is at the crux. This sets the children of Israel aside from the ancient Egyptians, where if an individual or if a widow lost her husband, or if an orphan didn't have parents, they weren't taken care of. And we know anything about God, it's for us to be holy, and holy means that we're just separate. So people have to understand that we're separate. People have to understand that we are not the same. And one way that he did that in antiquity was to take care of the orphans, take care of the widows. So when the when this complaint arose, the disciples, they showed wisdom. You know, they didn't discredit this complaint. And we know that the Holy Spirit was in action because we see in Scripture how Peter normally handled conflict resolution. You know, no ears were removed in this altercation. What they did, and this is a lesson in conflict resolution for even us in corporate America, if we're leaders in our family, if we have any type of conflict, we understand that we don't know who has been impacted by the conflict. We don't know who's been impacted by this dissent. So what they did, they brought everybody. They called the entire population or the entire congregation. And this just shows how important that they understood that this complaint, this gangousmos was in, it had potential to destroy the early church in its infancy. So they brought the entire congregation together. And in verses 2-4, they doubled down on their mission. You know, they says, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God. Chapter 6, verse 2. And this may seem like a kind of like a dig at these people who are complaining. It's like, you know what you guys are talking about, we're not with it. We're just going to continue to do what's important, and that's the word of God. And that is important. However, what they were saying is so profound, because if we go back up to Acts chapter 5, verses 40, we see that the disciples were just beaten. They were just flogged. I mean, I've been spanked, you know. My sister can attest to that. But I've never been flogged. And I tell you one thing, after a spanking, like, I wasn't rejoicing, you know, that I was found worthy to get that spanking. The disciples, they rejoiced. They left that place, you know, rejoicing. Why? Because they saw that they were finally starting to look like Jesus. They saw that they were finally starting to be seen as you know, Christ-like. Their message was offensive. So why is this important for the believers? So we know that the enemy never stops looking for ways to destroy God's people. He's like a prowling lion. 1 Peter 5:8 talks about God as, or Jesus as a, talks about the enemy as like a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour. He's constantly seeking out cracks in our armor. And one crack that we have in our armor that's prevalent in today's society is our differences. You know, it's safe. You know, it's safe for us to be together and to, you know, feel like because of we feel left out, that we can come together and we feel safe. You know, focusing on differences blocks out our ability to see sameness. And in Christ, we're just one body. And that's the beauty of being believers, is that we know that there's safety in being an outcast for Christ. The enemy places snares and traps for believers to be held into. And if there's anything that we know about traps, it's or a snare. It's a trap that holds you there. It's not meant to kill you. It's meant to hold you there and keep you there until the hunter comes back and does with you whatever he wills. So as the enemy lays these snares for us, he's holding us. He wants to infect us. How many of us have seen these, like documentaries about like the bugs who have parasites? And then they get this parasite. It overtakes their ability to have any self-control, or their will for living is not their own, but it's the parasites. So when we get infected by this parasite of sin, or this parasite of dissent, you know, the one thing that the Lord calls us to do is be one body. So when we're impacted by this parasite, the enemy can kick his feet up. And knowing that you've been infected, that you've accepted this parasite and you're the host of this parasite, he can kick his feet up and then you become his worker. What side do you fight on? You know, you can only fight on one side, and we are definitely in a battle. And the battle is real. It's for our souls. It's for us to not be in the will of God. It's for us. It's for the enemy to take us with him when he is when he's tortured for all of eternity. And that is what we're fighting for. We have the full armor of God at our disposal, and we should use it. So how do we practically apply like this? This passage to our lives. Number one, we have to default on the side of love. If you're at work, and this changed my life. This was completely transformative for me. If you know, I work in a highly regulated, very emotionally driven sector, and sometimes your coworkers come up to you and they say, you know what, I can't stand this person. You know, I can't stand this or this or that or this broker or that. And it's because you feel like you're the same. You feel like it's us against them. You want to say, oh, I agree. You know, or I agree to this or I agree to that. And as soon as we do that, we've taken part of gongusmos or that whispering or that dissent. And there are scientific studies that show that complaining, whether you're the complainer or listening to a complaint, it has a chance to... It rewires your brain, for one, and it makes it easier for you to operate in the negative. It releases the cortisol, the stress hormone. It releases cortisol so that it whatever stress does to you, it multiplies it. And it also causes, it even has been linked to like Alzheimer's. So if you're complaining, if you're listening, even if you're not the complainer, if you expose yourself to someone who is complaining for, I think they say 30 minutes or so, it's just as though you're the complainer. And it rewires your brain. The enemy really wants to destroy us from the inside out. It really makes sense now when you're reading scripture and you're saying, take hold of every thought. You know, think on things that are good. And we start to see like, okay, what does that really mean? Is that just spiritual? No, it's really physical. Number two, the way we apply this is to stay on mission. We see that the disciples, they doubled down on their mission. You know, they had an opportunity to say, you know what, I'm not trying to get, you know, beat on. I didn't sign up to get beat on. Jesus, I mean, he didn't cry out one time. Here I am screaming. And, you know, like, I didn't sign up for this. But what they did, they say in the book of Acts, they doubled down. They said, we have to listen to God, not man. And in Acts 6:1, it said, we are never going to stop spreading the word of God. And this is, they had every opportunity to say, you know what, it's way easier just to hand out provisions, hand out food, but they didn't do that. So number two is stay on mission. Number one, err on the side of love. Always, my wife does this really well. You know, if I talk to her about somebody and she says, you know what, they're probably just having a bad day. Or, you know, maybe they're having stressors in life or stressors at work. But the wisdom of a woman, she understands that, you know what, maybe it's just not them. Maybe it's something else. So err on the side of love if someone ever comes to you with any type of dissent or complaining. Number two, stay on mission. As a body of Christ, we are on mission to make disciples. And one thing about disciples, it literally translates into believers. And no one's going to believe your message if you're not a credible witness. And I know we have some lawyers in here, and there's something about being a credible witness. You know, it's critical to a case. It's critical to the validity of a case. If you're a witness for the defense and you're found to be incompetent or non-credible, then it destroys the entire case for the defense and leaves the defendant in jeopardy. And I know that in the spiritual realm, I'm the defendant. And I am dependent on, at one point I was dependent on somebody else's witness to be a credible witness for me to show that, hey, you know what? This is the body of Christ. This is a unified body. So stay on mission and guard your heart. Number three, guard your heart from prejudice and division. You know, we're all called to be good witnesses. It's meant, you know, this prejudice is meant to cause division. You know, prejudice is literally prejudging. It's obtaining a ill-gotten or an uninformed assumption about a person that you have no idea about. So it's literally prejudging. And what I found as I was studying this is that when we're prejudging, that means that we are wanting to rush the case. They don't get a full trial. We want them to just get sentenced, hurry up and get sentenced. And it sounds like to me that that is an accuser. And then there's in Scripture, there is an accuser of the saints, you know, and that's the enemy. So if we are allowing prejudice, if we're allowing the, you know, the division to cause prejudice and for us to act in the spirit of prejudice, we are actually prejudging people. We are actually taking on the role of the enemy. So here at King City, you know, it's this is a healing place for me. I know, I don't know if anybody in the has ever experienced any type of like division in church or dissension in church or any type of mumbling or grumbling or having been the recipient of it. I'm a pastor's kid. So as a pastor's kid, you don't realize as you're a kid, you say, oh man, you know, everyone in church is perfect. You know, you think that everyone is, you know, loves the Lord all week, is perfect all week, is coming to church and just to magnify and glorify God. But as you get older, you start seeing like, man, I can't believe that they would say these things. I didn't know that they had these things in their heart. So this place, for anybody who has been exposed to that, who has been on the receiving end, I challenge you not to allow your experience to block you off from the body of Christ. Don't allow your experience to cause you to be the purveyor of prejudice, because it does feel safe. But I tell you today that it is not a safe place to be. We are not to be divided. We cannot be divided as the body of Christ. There is no room for complaining or mumbling or grumbling. We have to fight this battle as a unified organism made of people that the Lord is personally building up. Thank you.